Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful moment, Lord. As we come into thy presence, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you. Because you're the one that is worthy of praise. You're the one that manages and controls the entire universe. When the waves roar and come dashing towards the shore, you cry out saying, thus far and no further. When the enemy comes against thy people, you raise up a standard. And the river of the water of life flows from the throne of God, transforming the dead into life. Thou art the God that said, prophesy unto these bones that they may live. And so today, as the Church of the Living God, New Jerusalem, Brother Max and Brother Jose, we prophesy unto the dead bones, the dry bones, that flesh may come upon them, that they may stand upon as a mighty army. Thy chosen sheep are scattered all over the world, compromising with the enemy, afraid of their lives, afraid of other people's opinion. But Father, your word says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know your word is God. Your word has creative power. And you've exalted thy word even above thy name. Heavenly Father, as your word comes out from thy throne, from between the two cherubims, we pray that your word will have the power to go all over the universe and rebuke and bind the prince of the power of the air. Rebuke the principalities and powers that are trying to take over this universe and bind them by the power of God Almighty, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the latter rain may fall in USA and all over the world, and your glory will be revealed once again. As you promise in the book of Hebrews, I will shake once more, not only the earth, but heaven as well. So this moment, as we come to the presence, Heavenly Father, by the blood of Jesus Christ which you shed on the cross of Calvary, and the power of the Holy Spirit, purge us, transform us, empower us, and speak through us thy word. And let thy word be exalted. May you increase, Father, and we decrease. May you alone be exalted, you alone be glorified, for unto you belong the riches and power, and all glory and honor. For in Jesus Christ's name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, and let us read a few verses. Now, 2 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, was written by Apostle Paul. Because the church, the people in the church thought Apostle Paul didn't know what he was talking about. Because in the first century, the Old Testament was very significant and they hadn't written the New Testament yet. But all that Jesus said had been inscribed, ready to be published. And the people said, Apostle Paul, what you're saying contradicts the Old Testament, because you're talking about this Jesus, not Moses. And then Apostle Paul, not only in Corinthians, but in many places, begins to state to the children of Israel that not Moses. Moses was not the one chosen to lead the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. But he explains very clearly that Moses died, rested in the Lord in the mountain, and saw the land of the Canaanites, the land of the promise. But Moses did not enter into the land of Canaan. Moses, the minister of the Old Testament, did not enter into the promised land. The person that entered into the promised land and led the children of Israel into the promised land, his name is Joshua, which is another name for Jesus. If you read in the New Testament and other places, it says Jesus led them into the land of the Canaanite, which was the promised land. The word Joshua is also the name Jesus. And so Apostle Paul says, the Old Testament was not the fulfillment of promise. The Old Testament was equivalent to Ishmael. God gave the Old Testament even as Hagar, as an interim situation. You know, sometimes in companies, somebody leaves the company or somebody dies or something happens, and then they have to have a director. And so what do? They say, well, in the interim, let's have, you know, Moses take over the department. And then when we hire a Joshua, we will go ahead and have a permanent director. So the Bible tells us the Old Testament was a stopgap, something in the interim that was added after the period of faith. So there are so many ages in the Bible. One was the age of Adam. Next was the age of Noah, where God commanded Noah to build the ark. And next was the age of Abraham, the age of faith. And next was the age of the Old Testament. And the Old Testament begins with Moses, who was called as the messenger of the Old Covenant. And 2 Corinthians 3rd chapter verse 3 states that the Old Testament was written in tables of stone. Apostle Paul tells the church, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of men, all men. For as much as, 2 Corinthians 3:3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. In the Old Testament, God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and on their hearts of flesh will I write the Word of God. And then Apostle Paul goes on to talk the difference about the Old and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, all that was said was, the soul that sinneth shall die. And nobody can go into the Holy of Holies but the high priest. And if he has sin in his life, when he goes into the Holy of Holies, he will be dead. And so there will be cords on his robe so they can drag him out, because God was displeased with him. But in the New Testament, Jesus Christ said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die, which is going to happen because we are going to be taken up when the Lord comes alive, and we will never taste death. As the trumpet sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. This book of Thessalonians. And we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together in the clouds to serve the Lord forevermore. So the letter said, the soul that sinneth shall die. And when the commandment was given, because the flesh did not have the capacity to fulfill God's commandment completely. And we can see the saints in the Old Testament. David, a man after the heart of God. Solomon, Moses, even Joshua, even Abraham, Adam, they all fell short of the word of God. At one point in time, they had disobeyed the word of God. And so God states that the Old Testament letter killeth. But the difference between the Old and the New Testament is, in the New Testament, Jesus said, I will send you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, and he will write the law of God in your hearts, and he will abide with you forever. So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:7 that the Old Testament has faded away. What does it mean, faded away? You know, in the night, we have the moon. And the moon, in the full moon, you get some light. It's like a night lamp. But when the sun riseth up in the morning, there is no more need for the moon. When the sun comes up, have you heard anyone saying, oh no, I love the moon, I love the night? Nobody says that, because they like the sun. The world is bright and people wait for the morning. So the moon is given in the night as a stopgap until the sun comes up in the morning. So the moon is likened unto the Old Testament. So what do we see in the book of Revelation chapter 12? Revelation chapter 12. And I saw a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. So the Old Testament is under the feet of the woman, which means that we are not disrespecting the Old Testament, because the Old Testament was given by the power and glory and the creative power and the holiness of Almighty God. But the Old Testament has passed away. The moon has been taken over by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, because the woman in the book of Revelation is clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars, which are the 12 apostles that ministered the New Testament unto us. Judas Iscariot was replaced by Matthias, the 12th apostle. And they are the ones, except John, who all died as martyrs and were slain for the word of God, and through their blood sealed the New Testament, mingled with the blood of Jesus, which purified them. And so, what Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:7 is that the Old Testament is the ministration of death. It was engraven in stones. It had some glory, because you look at the moon in the night, it's beautiful, it's glorious. It's a heavenly being. But that glory faded away. 2 Corinthians 3:7, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? And 2 Corinthians 3:13 states, when Moses spoke to the Lord and came back, not his entire body, but his face was shining, and the people got scared and he had to put a veil over his face. But it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The people in the Old Testament who were Jews could not see the Lord in His glory, because they would die. So God gave Moses only the permission. And Moses said, can I see you, Lord? And God said, you cannot see my face, because no one can see my face and live, but you can see my back parts. And I will cover you in a rock so that you won't get burnt. Well, we understand, you know, when you go close to an electrical transformer, it says, danger, don't get too close to it, because the electrical flux will kill you and you'll get fried. That's what happens when lightning strikes. And then God, who's bigger than lightning, greater than the sun, greater than the suns that are 1,000 times bigger than the sun in different galaxies. So God covered him. And so when he came down from the mountain, his face shone, and he had to cover it with the veil until the glory on his face faded away. The glory on Moses' face lasted for a while, and when the glory went away, God told him, now you can take the veil off, because your face is not shining anymore. So the Old Testament glory is a glory that fades away. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. You know, you have the Hubble telescope, but the Holy Spirit is our telescope. So we have been given a telescope, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will send you another comforter, and he will guide you into all the truth, and he shall receive from me. And that's the Holy Spirit that is now receiving from Jesus and giving us the word of God to give to the church and to all over the world. And he will take from me the word and give unto you. The word is our inheritance. We are not here to make money or become billionaires or trillionaires. If that happens, we're going to use it for the Lord's ministry. But we are here to hear the incorruptible word of God, all including me, because I don't have a clue what God is going to speak. All we are is just transistors, receivers, and we receive from God. So we are looking through this great Hubble telescope, the Holy Spirit, and we are beholding the glory of the Lord, not with our fleshly eyes, but in the Spirit. We are beholding the glory of our God, because in our fleshly eyes, we cannot behold the entire glory of the Lord until we are transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And then we will be like in the book of Revelation, woman clothed with the sun, moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars. So with open face, we are beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Now a question, where did the moon get its light from? It got its light from the sun. The Old Testament moon, the moon which stands for the Old Testament, got its light from the Son of God, but it was a glory that faded away, and now the sun has come. We don't have need of the moon. We learned from the moon. We still read the moon. We still have the moon. The moon is still in the sky. It hasn't disappeared. Just because the sun came, the moon didn't disappear. The light and glory of the sun is so bright that the moon is there, but it is not visible because the light of sun has camouflaged the light of the moon. So when the sun is there, we are not going to be asking what happened to the moon. We still respect the moon, the Old Testament. We still learn from it. It's that kindergarten. You know, sometimes when I'm in the office and my colleagues make some grammatical mistake, I tell them, I'm sure Miss Bunyan, my first grade teacher, passed away, but she told me, make sure all your sentences have grammar. So that word needs a comma and that tense is wrong. Fix it so Miss Bunyan will be happy. And so, Apostle Paul says the Old Testament was our schoolmaster, our first grade teacher. So we will end up graduating from high school through the power of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. So what happens when we see through this great Hubble telescope, the Holy Spirit, the glory of the Lord? We get transformed into the same image. And you know, Brother Jose, Max and I will say, well, you know what, when I look in the mirror, I really don't look like Jesus Christ. I mean, and my face is not as bright as the sun. Well, you don't either. When you look at the caterpillar, it still looks like a caterpillar. But suddenly the caterpillar breaks in two, and a beautiful, colorful butterfly, so beautiful, flies out. That's how it is. Apostle Paul says, this wild body that we have shall be overtaken and completely transformed by the glorious body that is going to come up. So this body is going to split up and it's going to vanish. And out of this body is going to come a flesh and a soul and a spirit that is going to be extremely glorious. And it's going to look like the sun and the moon under her feet. So if you want to know how we are going to look in glory, Revelation 12:1 tells us how we are. A woman clothed with the sun, that is the bride of Christ. and the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars. And we are being changed into the same image, even as by the Spirit of God Almighty. In the Old Testament, Moses momentarily had his face shining, but the shining faded away. Moses was not transformed. Moses did not take the children of Israel to the promised land. Joshua did, even as Hagar was not the woman of promise, which is the Old Testament. But Sarah was the woman of promise. Ishmael was not the child of promise, but Isaac was the man of promise. Saul was given in the interim, but David was the chosen one. Moses was given for the Old Testament, and Joshua or Jesus was the one given for the New Testament, so we can enter into the promised land. The word promised land stands for becoming the bride of Christ. That is the promise, the destination to which we have all been destined to be seated on the throne. And that is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is the moon in the night. The New Testament is the sun during daytime. And in Luke 9:21, Jesus Christ showed his disciples the power of the word in the New Testament, the New Covenant. When Old Testament stands for an old contract, and the New Testament stands for the new contract. The Old Testament contract was made with the blood of bulls and goats and sheep. The New Testament contract was made with the blood of the Son of God. The Old Testament contract has been superseded with the New Covenant, the New Testament contract. So in companies, when they write a new contract, no one goes and fishes out the old contract and says, well, we have to meet the terms of the old contract. That's why you get fired when you don't meet the new contract. The new contract does not delete the old contract or crush the old contract. The new contract is just superior, because Jesus said in the Old Testament, it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But in the New Testament, if you lust after a woman, you've already committed adultery. The New Testament is amplified, is a magnifying glass that looks into the glory of God. Because the New Testament, in the Spirit, you're seeing God face to face. In the Old Testament, if you kill somebody, you committed murder. In the New Testament, if you get angry with someone without reason, then you're already a murderer. And you have to confess your sin and get purified. And that is the standard of the New Testament. The standard of the New Testament is a million trillion times much higher than the Old Testament. So the New Testament doesn't say that you can commit adultery. The New Testament says, my standards are higher. If you look with lust, you already committed adultery. If you're angry without reason, you already committed murder. So why go back to the old standard and lower your standard? No, I'm going to ride on a horseback. Well, that car has 250 horsepower. That's a horse too. It just doesn't have a heartbeat. So that's the New Testament. In olden time, they just looked at the moon and said, wow, that looks really good. In the 21st century, we've landed on the moon. Hallelujah. And so Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, 21, and as Jesus prayed, he went up into a mountain. the fashion of Jesus' countenance was altered. The entire body of Jesus was altered. His face was like the sun, and his raiment was white and glistening like lightning. And the saints who had gone before Moses and Elijah started talking to him. And a cloud covered them, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Even as the Holy Spirit now testifies, saying, "These are my children." So Jesus said, this is the New Testament. In the New Testament, you're going to be transformed into the image of God. You're not just reflecting the light from the sun. You are going to become like the sun. John 2:10, Jesus explained that so many times to his children. What happened at Cana of Galilee? Jesus took the water and made it into wine. So what happened? Mary comes to Jesus and says in John chapter 2 and verses 1 to 10, "Oh, Jesus, they don't have any wine." And Jesus said, "I know I respect you as my mother, but you're not supposed to be coming to me and being like a mediator, just like the Catholics believe, to come and make supplication to me. These people, if they have a problem, they need to make direct supplication to me." And so Mary told the servants, "Oh, I'm sorry, I spoke out of turn. You just do what Jesus tells you and you talk to him directly." And they said, "Well, Jesus, we just ran out of wine." And Jesus said, "Okay, take those 6 water pots, fill them with water to the brim." The number 6 stands for man. And what Jesus was saying is, I am starting the new covenant, the filling of the Holy Spirit. So fill man with the power of the Holy Spirit and then draw it out to the governor of the feast. And when they did, it became wine. And the governor of the feast said, John 2:10, "And saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." So what the governor was telling Jesus is, why didn't you create the New Testament in the beginning? Why did you keep the New Testament so long? See, the New Testament started in the first century. That was the new contact after Jesus was crucified. And so the governor is saying, well, why did you have to wait so long for 4,000 years after man was created? But that was God's plan. And that's God in his infinite wisdom did that. And we in our little 1-pound brain cannot figure that out. And so the New Testament stands for the new wine, the new grape juice, the fresh, tasty, wonderful grape juice. That's why when in the day of Pentecost, the disciples started speaking in tongues, people thought they were drunk with new wine. And Peter said, nope, we are not drunk. We are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Bible says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your old men shall dream dreams, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And I will show signs in the heaven and in the sky and in the universe. The New Testament. We are under the new covenant that transforms us into the image of Christ. That was God's ultimate plan, that as in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus could tell his Father, "Behold, I and the sons and thy sons whom thou hast given me," when he will present us to the Father. That is why the book of Revelation talks about a group of people at the throne of God, and when they speak, the voice is like thunder and lightning hits when they move. You can see the bride at the throne of God in the book of Revelation. That's what we have been called. We have been destined to the throne. We have power and authority over all the principalities and powers of this world. Jesus is going to take over the Congress, the Senate, the Supreme Court, and all the authorities of this world. The power of God is going to be revealed. The latter rain is going to fall. No one can prevent the river of the water of life from flowing in the channel that is supposed to flow to bring the dead back to life. We are in the New Testament, where Jesus Christ, God the Father and the Holy Spirit speaks, and the whole world and the universe tremble. We are in the New Testament. We are not in the Old Testament, where we are going to be looking at the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and wondering how to feed the multitude. We are in the New Testament, where we take the 5 loaves and 2 fishes that stands for our families, for our life, and we take it and give it to God, and God blesses it and feeds the multitude. We are in the New Testament, which said, "Thou shalt lay hands upon the dead, and they shall be raised to life, and there is no power and authority that can come against you." May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us.